One of the things we've been doing on Sunday nights, we have been in a study trying to talk about some current things that are happening in our lives, like suicide. How do we handle that? What do we do with that? The deep, dark pit of depression. How do we help people out of the doldrums of darkness? And so I've decided this morning to do a lesson called I Am an Emotional Being. And with emotions come good emotions and bad emotions, positive emotions and negative emotions. We're all emotional. Everybody in the room is emotional. We can think about if you've been married for a week or a month or a year or several decades, you know that marriage is an emotional attachment that transpires and takes place every day. If you have had children, you know that there is tremendous emotion that takes place with children. Life is constantly full of emotion. And right here in Romans 12 and verse 15, we read it right off the cuff. Rejoice with those who rejoice. There's a sense in which we celebrate. We are happy. We're on cloud nine. We're on top of the world. Things are going in the right direction in our lives. And then boom, weep with those who weep. Those who are going through trial and tribulation and difficulty and illness and bankruptcy and conflict in their lives. And so no verse of Scripture can be any truer than Romans 12 and verse 15. We all have emotion, and some good and some not. But I want to say this, that most, if not all of us in the room today are products of our past. I mean, we really are. And we can overcome that if it's a negative past. If it's a past that is less than favorable, we can work to achieve to overcome that. But everybody in the room is a product of their past. I certainly think about my parents, their parents, their grandparents, and that long line that tells me that I am a product of my past. But having said that, let me share with you some introductory scriptures. One of the things Jesus did in Matthew 8 and verse 17, it says that Jesus went about working with the infirmities and the weaknesses that people had in their lives. You know, I want us to know today that when we talk about emotion, that we sometimes have infirmity with emotion, that we have weakness with emotion, and that's part of the process. I really like what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8 when he says this about our emotions in verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Did you see what he said in 26? That the Spirit helps with our weaknesses. Those emotions that are out of check in our lives. Those emotions that are out of control in our lives. Did you know that the concept of the idea of infirmity and weakness is found 24 times in the Scriptures? So if it's that many times, it's borne out that it can be a difficulty. I like what the Hebrew writer said about it in 4:15. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize, watch this, with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet the perfect example, Jesus, obviously, was without sin. But what's the point? The point is that we have emotion. We have good emotion. And we have bad emotion. We have positive emotion. We have negative emotion. But let me illustrate emotion this way. I want you to take your mind to California for a moment. And those huge, massive trees, those beautiful sequoias that are out there. And were you to be able to get inside that tree, what you would find would be rings and layers. And layers and rings. And what that does is it tells us a little bit of the developmental history of that tree. It tells you the history of that tree. Now, having said that, I want us to think about our own lives. Today, we have rings and layers in our own life. And what those rings and layers do is they record all of the thoughts and the emotions that have happened to us in our past. And there's not anybody in this room that can't look back at their past and see some thoughts and emotions that would cause some discomfort. And really some pain in our lives and some scars and some bad memories. Like people who've talked to me who said, well, I came from an alcoholic parent. And that ring and that layer and that emotion, it's there. And it will always be there. Well, somebody else says, I had a deadbeat dad. I had a daddy, he wasn't around. He wasn't around to teach me and train me and mold me and make me. As a matter of fact, I don't even really know my dad. And there's a ring and there's a layer and there's emotion in that comment. Somebody else says, my parents, I would refer to them as quarrelsome parents. They were constantly fighting and fussing and arguing and complaining and at one another's throat and at one another's neck and constantly berating one another. And that's a ring and that's a layer. And that's an emotion that we just can't get out of our heads. We are products of our past. And there are those scars of bad memories, of those emotional breakdowns that many of us have experienced in our lives. I am an emotional person. And so what those things do, they affect our concepts, our feelings, and many times our relationships. And down at the bottom, here's what I'm getting to. This is not psychology, all right? But here's what I'm getting to. All of that then affects a lot of times how we view God, how we view ourselves, and how we would view other people. Because of those rings and those layers and those emotions that go so deep in our lives that many times what we say if we have a deadbeat dad, we say this, hey, you know what? You're telling me God is my father and I have a negative image of my father because he was a deadbeat dad. And that's how a lot of times they view God, as being out of their lives, disinterested in their lives, so forth and so on. Somebody who says, you know what, I had quarrelsome parents and therefore, you know, the concept of marriage just turns me off because of what I saw with my mother and my father. So there's that ring and that emotion of that layer of how people are going to view marriage. And on and on and on and on this could go. How we view God, how we view self, and how we view others. Now, here's what I want to talk about this morning. Well, it's not going to be that bad. It's not going to be that bad. All right. It might be worse, but it's not going to be that bad. All right. We want to talk a little bit about damaged emotions. I think somebody just had one there. But damaged emotions. Let's talk about that a minute. Why do we find ourselves in an emotional wreck today? Somebody says, man, I'm an emotional mess. I'm a wreck. Why is that true? Well, number one, because some people have a sense of unworthiness. I want to tell you what that means. Some people look in the mirror and say, you know what? I am useless. I am worthless. Man, I'm just no good at all. I'm no good to anybody. I'm not going to ever amount to anything. And I call it the Charlie Brown complex. Remember Charlie Brown? He always had that emotional attachment of something over his head and it was always something going wrong and it wasn't good. It's the Charlie Brown complex. And the Bible talks about this in two ways. Romans 12 and verse 3. It says this, don't think more of yourself than you should, but it also says in Matthew 22:39 that you ought to love your neighbor. Watch this. as you do yourself. Did you know it's okay to love yourself? And we need to have a balance there, but some people have damaged emotions and they see just a sense of unworthiness. I'm no good. I'll never amount to anything. And then number two is the perfectionist complex. I hope you weren't raised with parents like this. You bust your hind end to make your bed, and your mother walks in and says, "You got a little crease right here." Ain't nobody perfect. Nobody does it right 100% of the time, just exactly right. That doesn't exist. And we got to get that out of our heads right now, whether we're a parent or a spouse or a mate or a boss or an employee or whatever the case might be. Never good enough. And some people have to go through life thinking, it doesn't matter what I do, I'm never good enough, so I'm just not even going to try. That damages people's emotions. Number three, it's the super, I call it the super sensitive person. Just super sensitivity. They've been hurt in the past, and now they have to have numerous strokes every day just to make it through the day. Man, you're good, you're fine, you're wonderful. Man, you look great, you're doing wonderful. Man, I've been hurt in the past. And so you got to just keep stroking them and stroking them and stroking them because they have that super sensitivity. Sometimes we do that even in the church. We look around, we say, man, you know, we don't have a good enough, and we don't have a good enough, and we always think the grass is greener somewhere else. And you know what we find out most of the time? It's not. And if I go somewhere else, after a while, I find the warts there too. I see the blemishes of the people there too. I see that those people don't measure up either. I see that those people make mistakes too. I see that those people falter and fail too. And it's the super sensitivity. We're damaged sometimes by that emotion of being hurt in the past. And so we have to constantly try to look for something better. It doesn't exist. And then there's the fear of failure. I'm just not going to try because I know if I do, I'm going to fail. I'm just not going to give it a whirl because if I do, I know I'm not going to make it. And I love this scripture, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. God did not give us the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Here's what I try to teach people about failure. If you don't try, you have failed. Amen? So go ahead and try. And if you do fail, you know you've tried. You know the story about Thomas Edison, don't you? The great inventor. Somebody says, "Wow, you found a lot of ways to fail." You know what he said? "I found a lot of ways it didn't work. But when I finally found it, it worked." And we are beneficiaries of that even as I speak today. And so here are all of these damaged emotions that all of us are dealing with in our life. Now, how do we repair it? I want to give you five or six things this morning that will help repair damaged, hurt emotions that we experience in our lives. Here they are. Number one, we got to face it. We got to face it head on. Don't get the broom and the dustpan out. Say, "Man, I'm just going to sweep it under the rug and see if it'll heal itself." It doesn't. It's like putting a Band-Aid on it. You got to face it. You got to deal with it. I love this scripture in James 5 and verse 16. It says, "Be big enough to confess your faults to one another so that you can pray for one another. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does a lot of good," he says. It avails much. And so the first thing in repairing those damaged emotions is face it head on. Number two, accept responsibility. You see, here's what the tendency is. Well, it's their fault. Oh, it's because of what they did. And we're always trying to come to grips with who they are. And who are the they? Isn't it we and us instead of they and them? I mean, really, isn't that what it is? If you are a physical family, isn't that what it is in the physical family? If you are a spiritual family, isn't that what it is in the spiritual family? You see, Romans 14, 12, "Let every one of us give an account of himself to God." When we stand before the great white throne judgment, we will not be judged as Mount Pleasant Church of Christ. No, sir. We will not be judged as Castle Comfort Church of Christ on the island of Dominica, where I was. That's not how we'll be judged. We'll be not judged, my physical family will be not judged as the Hall family. No, sir. But I tell you how I will be judged. As that individual who stands before God, let each one of us give an account of himself to God. And so if I am an emotional wreck and an emotional mess, I have to do everything within my power to take ownership and responsibility of it. Number three, ask. That's a good question to ask. And if you're wondering why somebody would ask this question, I'm going to give you an answer to that in just a moment. Do I need healing? In John chapter 5, there was a guy in John chapter 5. He'd been sick for 38 years. Now, if anybody in the room has been sick for 38 years, please see me after services are over. I want to know it. I really do. If you've been sick for 38 consecutive years. Here's a guy who was. John chapter 5. And here's the question that was asked of him. Do you want to get well? Hello? Been sick for 38 years. What kind of question is that? Well, wait a minute. Let's stop and think about that for a moment. Here's what this man had at his disposal. He had people around him who would pick him up physically, put him into the water. Oh, man, it feels good in here. The water's refreshing. It's soothing my bones. It feels great to me. Somebody else later that would pick him up and put him back outside. Now, if you are pampered, if you are taken care of, if somebody's watching your every need, maybe you don't want to get well. But in our culture, in our society, I don't know anybody that really wants to stay sick. But part of the emotional process is this. I have to ask myself, do I want healing from my past hurts? Number four. And we're going to talk about this next Sunday night. We're going to talk about unforgiveness. Part of the things that hinder spiritual growth. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one. But forgiveness. If I'm going to repair that emotion, that person with that deadbeat dad, I've got to move on from that and realize that I have a father in heaven. If I have an alcoholic parent, I've got to move on from that and say, I don't want to be that kind of parent. If I have quarrelsome parents, I have to say, when I get married, we're not going to fuss, fight, fume, get mad, stomp, jump up and down, throw things at one another, and hit one another over the head with a skillet. You know. Okay, so forgiveness. All right, and then I like this one. I love this one. This is probably my favorite one of the list. It's a lot of people are carrying around a ball and chain today, and you know what they have not done yet? They've not forgiven themselves. They look in the mirror and say, man, I know what I did, 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 and I cannot forgive me. You got to be able to forgive yourself. And then last but not least, we've got to turn it over to somebody bigger than we are. We've got to turn it over to God. Back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. The Spirit, part of the Godhead, helps our weaknesses, and we pray and we groan and we utter. James said in 4:3, if any of you ask amiss, you ask for selfish purposes. Maybe one of the reasons why our prayers are not getting through is because we're asking in a selfish vein. Maybe we're not thinking about others. Or maybe we're not asking God exactly what it is that needs to help us repair those emotions that are out of check in our lives. I'm emotional. Hey, I'm emotional when I speak. I don't mind telling you that. The folks on Dominica know that now. They know that there's somebody who's emotional and passionate. And there is good emotion. But I tell you what, I want you to get this, all right? And here's the key to the message today. Are you ready for this? Got your seatbelt on? I have to control my negative emotions. See, that's where it lies. If my tongue is out of control, James says you got to control your tongue. Because that tongue is wielding an influence. And you got to bring it into check. Whatever emotion is out of check in my life, I have to work to bring it back in. Rein it in. R-E-I-G-N. Rein it back in. Does that make sense? the lesson makes sense to you today, say amen. Amen. Some of you said, man, that makes no sense at all. But that's on you. All right? Grab your songbook. We're going to continue to talk about, not tonight, but in the next few weeks, especially on Sunday night, things that hinder spiritual growth. We're going to talk about unforgiveness. We're going to talk about conflict. We're going to talk about a number of things that hinder our spiritual growth. But I'm telling you, sometimes our emotions really trip us up. I mean, they really do. And they really keep us from being everything God wants us to be. I hope today that you will have the emotion to say, I need to repent and change my life. I need to confess the sweet name of Jesus. I feel guilty because I have sin in my life and I need to get rid of my sins by being immersed. It may be that you are a New Testament Christian, but you're not walking the walk. And you know it. And as a Christian, what a wonderful thing it would be to see that emotion come out of your face, those tears that come out of your face from your heart saying, God, I know I'm not where I need to be. I'm not where I need to be. And I want to tell you this. Nobody will make fun of you, ridicule you, laugh at you, embarrass you, or humiliate you for weeping today. Nobody. If your heart is broken, I promise you, you've come to the right place. Are there perfect people in this room? Not one. Not one. But are there people that have been made perfect by the blood of Jesus? Most of us. We struggle. We're weak. We have to call upon the Spirit of God to help us with those weaknesses. You know what your need is a whole lot better than anybody else. So, Brian, let's stand together and sing.